You're listening to WPEA 90.5 FM, Exeter.
Let's see, does this work? Alright, so today's episode is going to be about astronomy and more specifically black holes. Rhea, if you want to start us off.
Yeah, sorry, we're kind of rusty because we didn't meet up for recording last week, but we're really excited to get our second episode, you know, like up and started. We wanted to do something that we were especially passionate in, and we didn't have enough time to like book a guest and all that stuff, so it's just going to be the two of us for this one. We're going to do something that Mayhall especially is extremely passionate about. As she mentioned earlier, black holes. She's very hyped up about it.
I am.
I don't know personally much about black holes, but I'm willing to learn. And we understand that a lot of viewers, they might not also understand a lot about what black holes are about. So the main plan for today is we just really want to get us going with like a little game, but we're also going to talk a lot about like the fundamentals of black holes. And, you know, the entire gist of this radio show is to, you know, explain complicated things of science in different ways. So then we're going to go into the more like juicier advanced stuff. So that's basically the plan for today. Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to start us off since like, okay, I was like 9 when I first like got into astronomy. It was, I think it was like summer vacation, and I was just like on the website for NASA, and I was like looking at random stuff. And I saw this really blurry picture of something that looked like a ring of fire, and apparently it was one of the first pictures of a black hole. And seeing something like so mysterious, like unknown, it always like piques my interest. So that's how I got into that wormhole. But
yeah, I remember I think that the ring of fire that Mayhall's nine-year-old self was referring to, that's the only like official photo of a black hole, or at least the first official photo of a black hole that I guess like the general public was exposed to. It was very like revolutionary for its time. What were you gonna say?
Like it's honestly a little unimpressive compared to a lot of photos.
I was gonna say that, yeah. Yeah, it doesn't look like all that much. So when my mom was saying like this is so like incredible and like amazing, I was just like, okay. But I think it is a very you know, important, I guess, part to, I guess, like international collaboration for science, because there were like many laboratories that, you know, were focusing on just getting one picture of this. So
yeah. I feel like the main thing about black holes is that, like, once again, they're a really unexplored topic, and they're also, like, bending a lot of the laws of physics that we're, like, used to, and that's, like, one of the main reasons why I'm so interested in them. So
yeah.
I guess without further ado, we're gonna, like, actually get into the science of this. So to summarize the entire concept of black holes, it's essentially a cosmic body of extremely intense gravity from which nothing can escape. And one of the coolest things about black holes is that we consider light as not being matter, and yet it also gets sucked into a black hole, which is why they are black. So essentially how a black hole is formed is when a really large or dense star dies, its core kind of collapses within it in itself, and that core starts to like eat away at the rest of the remaining matter of the star. And essentially that's how a black hole is formed. And they're always like a lot smaller than the actual mass they're formed from, which theoretically means that like a human can become a black hole, but the black hole would be the size of like smaller than a proton, probably. So
yeah,
that's like basically summing up the concept of black holes. But like there's so much deeper you can go into that.
Yeah, and I think one main thing about black holes is that they're extremely, like, I think, like, when we were, like, young kids, when we watched, like, sci-fi movies, we were always very exposed to black holes, and there were a lot of misconceptions about what black holes, like, you know, characteristics and properties are that we were sort of exposed to, especially through like movies. So I thought a fun game we could do is a game called Movies versus Reality, where we could gain a better exposure to the properties of black holes. It's essentially just a true or false game. And I thought we could base it off of a lot of these like 21st century like sci-fi related films. Interstellar is definitely a big one. I think a lot of people, well, I know that Mayhall doesn't know what Interstellar is. I tried to show her the trailer earlier and she wasn't that into it, but Interstellar involves like a lot of advanced, you know, like scientific concepts, especially pertaining to black holes. And although many movies work with mathematicians and physicists to maximize scientific accuracy, there are always like discrepancies in, you know, how it looks because of, you know, like theatrics. So we're gonna look more into that through this little exercise. Yeah, so I'm just gonna be like stating like true or false statements, and I guess Mayhall can reply to, you know, I'm sure that she already knows most of these, but like, or basically all of them, but she's just gonna say whether they're true or false, and they're based on like how black holes have been portrayed in movies. So this is like the little practice prompt, but I'm gonna say a true or false question, and the claim is that black holes are black and spherical with bright rings around it, and this was portrayed in both Interstellar and Star Trek movies. What do you think, Mayhall?
Well, like, I mean, to an extent it is true, but we're actually like not super sure, because black holes, like, well, it's true that they're black and they're not exactly spherical because they don't really exist in that dimension, like, mm-hmm. We're not really sure what dimension they exist in actually, but one theory is that like technically black holes always exist in the dimension of the beholder, so still not really spherical. But they are like theorized, especially based on the photos that we have, and the fact that like the original photo that we have, once it was like enhanced by AI, which I'm not too sure about, but yeah, it's actually shown as having like a bright ring of light around it. And this is probably just like a part of the black hole, which is known as the event horizon, which is like where the light, like, the light which is sucked into the black hole kind of like stays for a bit, since time is like warped around the black hole. It's a really
I think
complex topic.
Event horizons are also like the boundary to like a marker point for like how much, like to what extent like gravity has an effect like for matter in a black hole.
Yeah, that's like essentially it. But so I would say like it is true, but like I haven't seen the movie, so I don't know if I don't know what bright ring of light means. But
I think so for like bright rings of light, those were portrayed in Interstellar and Star Trek, and those are supposed to refer to the accretion disks that were just like matter, or is it light or matter that's like just around the black hole?
Honestly, just a mixture of both. It's I mean, it's, like, technically matter, I think, but, like, the matter is usually also creating, like, emitting light, so that's probably why. We don't know, again, about, like, the disks. A lot of simulations, like, computer simulations from official places like NASA and SpaceX do portray black holes with those disks, so we are, like, assuming it's true for now, I guess, but, yeah.
Okay, so I guess we can go on to our next true or false question. So the claim is, if you happen to be in a black hole and you're still alive, you can leave out in one piece. This one's a very like multifaceted and sort of like nuanced question. There are a lot of theories about this one. But this was portrayed in Interstellar. Yeah, what are your thoughts on that, Mayhall?
I mean, technically you would still be in one piece, but like, when something enters a black hole, it gets stretched very, very thin, almost like spaghetti.
Yeah, spaghettification.
Yeah, that is actually what the process is called.
Yeah.
So I mean, that's still one piece, I guess, but, like, it's not ideal.
Yeah, there is an interesting theory that was offered by Stephen Hawking, and he had this idea. He sort of just started it off, and he didn't really, like, expand on it too much, but he had this idea called Hawking radiation, which was the theory that, like, black holes, they don't, like, infinitely exist, but they constantly shrink by, like, emitting, like, matter outside of it. And that's also, and this is sort of how, like, physicists have expanded more on it. People believe that the matter that black holes are, like, expending, like, outside of, like, I guess the event horizon, it's also, like, stuff that is inside the black hole. So if you were, like, a person, and if you were in the black hole, it's like little pieces of matter of yourself are getting expended out. So that was just an interesting theory that is also involved when, you know, considering this question.
I mean, if anyone's interested, like, NASA does have a simulation of what it would be like to fall into a black hole. I'm not sure how that would work, considering, like, anything you put in there gets into the process of spaghettification.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I guess assuming that you have a gravity-proof camera. I'm not sure. But, yeah.
Okay, so the third claim is that black holes suck matter around it.
I mean, it's like, well, they do have a very strong gravitational pull.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not to the point where, like, everything around it is, like, bound to enter the black hole. Otherwise, like, for example, the Milky Way, or almost every galaxy I think we've discovered so far, has a supermassive black hole, which is, as the name suggests, just larger than the average black hole, in its center. And if this claim were true, then, like, the Milky Way would be slowly getting pulled into this black hole, since, of course, like, even though the universe is expanding and things are moving further apart, according to this claim, the black hole's gravitational pull would be enough to, like, reverse that within its vicinity. Mm-hmm. So either there would be, like, a gaping hole in the Milky Way, or we would just, like, cease to exist at some point. So I would say this is false, because it doesn't seem like, it's more of, like, anything that falls within a certain range of the black hole gets sucked in.
Yeah, I think a lot of the time when we think about black holes, it's like a general misconception that you will get sucked in. But I think, as Mehal was saying, it sort of just depends on, like, the specific, I guess, like, place in the black hole you're in, or, like, around it. Because, once again, like, the event horizon is, like, almost like a guideline for, like, how much of, like, the gravitational force will, I guess, like, suck you in. Yeah. Oh, well, we've already talked a little bit about this, so I guess we can just repeat it again. But the fourth and last claim for this little game is black holes result in spaghettification of matter at close proximities. And, yeah, it ended up to be true, as Mehal was mentioning. And actually, for a while, spaghettification was almost, like, doubted to be a specific property for, like, matter to enter in black holes. But it was actually proven after with the tidal disruption effect, which is specifically a phenomenon where stars are ripped apart by black holes' gravity. And that occurrence proves spaghettification is true.
All right, we're gonna end there for now, take a little break. We'll be back in, like, a minute. You're listening to WPEA 90.5 FM Exeter. All right, we are back on air. Loki, I forgot where we left off, so right, you could continue.
Yeah, so I guess now that we finished with our little game, I want to go back to Interstellar a little more, which I know Mehal might be sick of, but there is this one scene where the main protagonist, he is in a black hole, but it's not really portrayed where there's, like, you know, like, it's devoid of light, and it's not portrayed in that way, because obviously that'd make horrible theatrics, but it's portrayed in like the portrayal of like a library. He's like floating around in this like weird dimension where he's able to like touch and interact with like parts of Earth. It makes a lot more sense when you watch the movie, but essentially he's trying to communicate with his daughter in the past. And I don't know how much, like, to what extent, like, black hole research is, like, correlated with, like, loopholes and stuff like that. But one thing that I was personally wondering about is if, Mehal, you knew much about, like, how, like, the concept of time is also involved with black holes. Do we think we could get into a little bit of that?
Okay, wait, I'm excited. yeah, so time is actually, like, really, really wonky around black holes. As I hope most know, there is basically space is made of like, it's like a vacuum. And even though it's a vacuum, there's a concept of space-time, which basically like means that the mass of like an object or like the amount of matter in a certain place kind of affects how space-time warps. So if any of you have ever seen those like demonstrations where they like put a marble on the cloth and it like rolls around. Yeah. It's a bit difficult to explain, but essentially like black holes have such an immense gravitational pull that they can like they can warp space-time in like really weird ways. And that's where like the whole thing of like dimensions comes in again, because we don't really know how that works with a black hole either. Essentially these are just like the rule breakers of like everything we've come to know.
Yeah, and actually speaking of like this like relationship with time and dimensions, after I watched Interstellar, I started to get pretty invested in it. And Neil deGrasse Tyson, he's not famous for his like actual scientific research, but he's famous for like being able to explain scientific concepts well. And I thought the way he did it in this video was very helpful in almost like giving us another perspective on how wonky time is in black holes. So I thought we could, this is gonna be like a little experiment, but I wanted to just like have the video play here. So let's just try it out. Oh, actually, before I'm going to, I need to cite my sources. This is a video 10 years ago provided from Business Insider. It's just gonna like, I don't know. It'll give us like a little bit more of an understanding about time, but we can go more into the like recent discoveries and specifics of it later.
But starting back in ordinary life, we have three dimensions that we're familiar with. On a grid, you might think of it as what street in New York, what street, what avenue, and what floor in a building that you might meet someone. These are three coordinates that you would give. Remember, however, that anytime you've ever made an appointment to see someone,
Yes, you are.
You would not give a time without a place, nor would you give a place without a time. So the actual coordinates to meet someone require four numbers, basically, four coordinates. Three space coordinates and one time coordinate. You never said to your friend, I'll meet you at 10 o'clock tomorrow. Where? You never said, I'll meet you at the corner of 33rd and 3rd. When? We know intuitively that we need a space and a time coordinate combined in order to have life unfold in any meaningful way. So the idea that we live in four dimensions should not be surprising to people. We take it for granted. But the difference is that we are not prisoners of our three-dimensional space. I can walk left and right. I can jump up and down. I can walk forwards and backwards. And I can repeat that. I can access all points of my three-dimensional space. Yet I am a prisoner in the present, forever transitioning from the past into the future. I have no access to the past. I have no access to the future. And so, if you go to a higher dimension, it's not unrealistic to think that you step out of the time dimension And now you look at time as though we look at space. So very questions that we have, very statements that we make about our lives make no sense in that higher coordinate system. You can ask, when was I born? Well, you were always born. When did I go to college? You're always going to college. When did I die? You're always dying. And so if your whole timeline is laid out in front of you, then you have access to it. And you can jump in at any point, relive it. We don't know yet if you can interfere with events that, quote, have already happened. If your whole timeline is just already there, what does it mean to jump into it and then change something if it's already there? So these are fascinating questions that make great fodder for science fiction stories. And we don't know what's in a black hole, so take it and run with it. We look out at the
Yeah, so that was, I thought that would sort of like provide a gist of, you know, like how time is portrayed in black holes. But it also sort of attests to the movie in Interstellar, and also makes us, you know, like ask questions about, you know, whether we can like interact with specific moments in time in a black hole. It's something interesting to think about. That's essentially what I had for like the like general concepts of black holes, and I was I know Mayhall's very excited, so we're gonna go straight into talking about more of the advanced concepts. So Mayhall, all you.
Okay. all right, to start off, I think I'm just gonna explain space-time first. We essentially exist in four dimensions. Time is not something that passes necessarily, it's more of just another dimension. The three dimensions, the first three dimensions are the ones that we're used to thinking about, just anything spatial, like we can move on the X axis, the Y axis, and the Z axis. Mm. And time is actually factored into this, I guess, imaginary graph too. Mm-hmm. Because these four dimensions together are what we call space-time. And what we experience as time passing is actually just us moving through the time dimension. And that's like one of the main reasons why we haven't like technically time traveled yet. But I think black holes might change that. This is actually something I came up with another friend. But it's like a conspiracy theory that we actually talked to one of our physics teachers about. I think,
yeah,
it was like a weird experience, but just quick story. Essentially, like, me and this friend were just like talking about random stuff about like physics and black holes, and we had the bright idea to like email one of our physics teachers about it, with like a bunch of like really really interesting questions.
Are you pulling up the email?
Yes, I am pulling up the email.
This is a funny story.
Yes.
This is also someone who's not only a physics teacher, he's a robotics coach.
Yes, and if for those of you who don't know, I am on the robotics team, so I do have to see this guy like at least once a week. I couldn't show my face after his response. I asked my questions and his response was, "Hi, Mayhall. We have a resident astrophysicist. She can answer your profound questions so much better than I could ever do." And then said astrophysicist called my questions very intense and theoretical. I'm wondering where these questions came from. I think... I'm not sure how to feel about that response. But I guess looking back now, I can see why these were very, they were very theoretical, yes. But going back on topic, essentially we have space-time, and since we're not passing through time, rather just traveling in the time dimension, that theoretically means that we can travel backwards in the time dimension. And that's where another theoretical particle comes in. They're known as tachyons, which can approach and go faster than the speed of light. And because of this behavior, they're capable of going back in time. Which brings me back to like the fact that we might have invented time travel. Now, to connect all of this together, okay, I will say that black holes have an opposite known as white holes. Again, this is all like theoretical stuff, but these white holes are known to like spew out matter instead of taking in matter like black holes do. So they're essentially like, if you think of them as a straw almost, they spew out the matter that black holes take in. And so that's where my theory comes from, that they might be able to reverse time or speed it up, since white holes are doing the opposite behavior of black holes in that sense. They might also be doing the opposite behavior of black holes in the fact that instead of like speeding up time to the person that is going inside the black hole, or the object that is going inside the black hole, it might reverse time. Or maybe they just have the same behavior as black holes. But either way, if white holes do speed up time, then we could theoretically speed up time in the negative direction to go back in time, which is essentially like the entire concept of time travel. But that brings me back to the tachyons. This is where they come in, because now I'm thinking these tachyons can approach and go faster than the speed of light and go back in time. So if white holes can reverse time, and they are perpetually exceeding the speed of light. Wow. So my question now is, are they made of tachyons? Rhea, if you can comprehend any of what I'm saying.
I think I'm getting it. So do you think you could like explain again like how tachyons like pertain to like white holes again?
Yeah, so once again, tachyons are theoretical particles which can approach and go faster than the speed of light, and are also, because of this, capable of going back in time. So my theory is that white holes can like reverse time because they exhibit the opposite behavior of black holes. And that's why I'm asking, are white holes possibly made out of these theoretical particles, tachyons?
Oh, I see. Obviously, I don't know the answer, but I guess that would be an interesting thing to look more into. Have tachyons been like historically like known for just like being in white holes, or are they like, is it just a theoretical particle that's like considered to be like anywhere in space?
No, right now it's just like a very, like, all of this is really theoretical. It's a very experimental topic overall, and really, like, I don't think anyone has actually made a good connection of with tachyons to black holes or white holes, for that matter. It's just a theory I came up with at, like, 3 a.m.
Is it?
Yeah.
No, it's interesting.
And this is also, like, very much simplifying the topic and possibly, perhaps, cutting corners explaining it, because the actual topic is extremely complex, but...
Yeah. Wait, so are white holes also, like, four-dimensional, like black holes? Or just, like, any place in space and time? Do they work the same way?
So, honestly, I don't really know. Like, I feel like it's important to acknowledge the fact that I know absolutely nothing about white holes, since, like, again, they're, like, I think they're mainly just a part of quantum physics, and while I am not super well-versed with quantum physics, it's, like, even within that field, it's still a really theoretical topic, and just something that, like, a few scientists with a lot of money are researching, so, yeah, we don't really know how, like, dimensions work even within just black holes, so I feel like it's gonna be a lot of time before we figure it out with white holes, but yeah.
Should I pull up a video of, like, what are white holes, just so that, like, the viewers can get a gist of it? There's, like, a 50-second
video. I mean, yeah, sure.
Okay. This is provided by Science Time for citing.
Is this a YouTube short?
Yeah. Oh, no. It's not working. It says sign in to prove you're not a bot or something.
All right, anyway.
But Mehal, maybe before we could share that video, do you think there's one last question on our planning document that I think you wanted to touch on. Do you want to talk more about that?
Which last question?
Like, how would the equation D equals RT? First of all, what is D equals RT? Is that distance, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, yes. Honestly, like, this is, like, a question that even I don't know the answer to fully. It's just something that I like theorizing about, again, as mm-hmm. with all these questions. But, the equation distance equals rate times time. How would it be affected if rate was faster than the speed of light? Since we touched on how tachyons go faster than the speed of light, they reverse time, which, in my opinion, makes absolutely no sense, but that's what the scientists said. Either way, so with that logic, distance equals rate times time, and if rate is, like, faster than the speed of light, it would be skewing basically the other two parts of the equation, distance and time. Because in order to, like, even approach the speed of light, we need to, like, kind of trigger this phenomenon called time dilation. And that's, like, a good example is, like, running in circles. If you run really big laps, like, for example, around the Earth, so let's say it was possible. If you run really big laps around the Earth and your friend stands just in one stationary position, and both of you had timers, time would pass a lot, I believe, I actually forgot. Yeah, it's like time would pass differently for your friend and you, since you're, like, running in circles and your friend is just standing in one place. Now, obviously, this has, like, a bunch of other complexities, considering that, like, the Earth is also, like, rotating and just things like that. But I guess that's, like, one of the best examples I can give right now. So, again, the question is, how would the equation distance equals rate times time be affected if the rate was equal to or faster than the speed of light? Do you have any thoughts on this, Rhea?
So, no, but it's actually a perfect timing, and I'll think more about it because it's time for us to play our next PSA. You're listening to WPEA 90.5 FM Exeter, and we'll be getting back more onto these concepts, and I'll try to think of an answer.
All right, we are back, and you are listening to WPEA 90.5 FM Exeter. Picking up where we left off, Rhea, do you have anything for us?
Could you repeat your question again?
How would the equation distance equals rate times time be affected if rate is equal to or faster than the speed of light? I'm throwing her under the bus here.
Yeah. I would say, well, I never claimed that I was, well, okay. Yeah, I'll try my hardest. I would say that, so if we were to isolate R, then.
I mean, like.
Then, like, rate and time would just be, like, inversely proportional. So then time would just be, like, bro, Mayhall, help me out here.
Like,
What are you trying to hint at? Are you trying to hint at anything?
Yes. No, because, like, my logic here is that, like, since the rate of, okay, let's say, like, we're just, like, trying to find, like, the speed of, like, an object, right? So, or, like, trying to find the distance it traveled. Wow. If that object is, like, equal to or faster than the speed of light, then, like, theoretically, it would be traveling backwards in time if it were, like, exhibiting the same behavior as a tachyon. So that's where my question comes in, because if it's traveling backwards in time, then it's affecting the rest of the equation, too. Like, it's affecting the time and the distance in the equation, because we don't really know, like, how that works. So that's my question, yeah.
So when you're referring to, like, the distance equals, like, rate times time, are you referring to, like, tiny particles like tachyons, or are you referring to, like, virtually anything that could, like, that of, like, you know, like, greater mass or, like, larger size larger, like, dimensions that could also go at that pace.
I mean, we can just say, yeah, tachyons, because, like, I feel like that's the most logical thing to be calculating here. If we're trying to find the distance that a tachyon travels, they move faster than the speed of light or at the speed of light. And when they do so, they're going backwards in time, so that means, like, distance equals rate times time. The time in that equation is also getting affected by the rate. So, like, how would that be factored in?
I see. Perchance we could let our viewers ponder on this a little more, and we can segue into, like,
yeah,
a new topic.
Sorry, Raya.
You're good.
Yeah.
I might cut this.
Yeah. Well, I feel like the most basic question to start with here is, like, these are just the questions I sent to my physics teacher, but the most basic question here is a black hole three-dimensional or four-dimensional? And we did touch on this earlier,
okay,
but, like, I feel like the main thing to address here is that, like, once again, it's a really ambiguous topic, and it's, like, I feel like the deeper you go into it, the more, like,
Confusing it gets,
yeah. Because, like, I've heard so many different responses from so many different people, and, like, according to one of the courses that I am going to take, this is from a senior, by the way, but according to him, the dimension of the black hole is, like, based on the beholder, or, like, the beholder's dimension.
Mm-hmm.
According to Google, it's four-dimensional, so we're not, like, super sure about this, and it's not exactly something that, like, makes sense either, because the fourth dimension is time, and, well, I mean, like, we clearly see black holes affecting time, so it would make sense if it was four-dimensional.
Yeah.
And maybe we just can't perceive that because we can't perceive the fourth dimension in general.
I think also the way that Neil deGrasse Tyson explained it in that video, the interesting thing about black holes in comparison to, you know, like, us here, we can move anywhere we physically want to on the X, Y, and Z dimensions, but we can't affect time. What Neil deGrasse Tyson was saying, actually, like, pretty eloquently in the video, was that a theory about black holes is that you can't physically move in, like, any of the XYZ directions, but you can affect time. So I think it, to that extent, I would say that it is a four-dimensional object.
Yeah. And the second question, like, segueing into that, is, are we existing in the third or fourth dimension? And actually, Raya, like, I feel like this is something that you could probably, like, just... like, guess on.
Well, I would also say it's four here too, because it's not like when we're comparing like dimensions of, like, black holes and the Earth, that they're, like, different. They're, like, the ranges and, like, the domains for, like, each of the, like, the coordinates, those are different, but it's not that, like, we're, like, discarding, like, time or, like, or any, like, place in space. So I would say that, like, both are four dimensional.
I feel like my insight on this is that, like we're living in the fourth dimension, but we can only perceive three.
Right.
And this is, like, mainly because, well, we can't, like, see things actively, like, in their past, present, and future states, which is, like, I guess, like, a marker of being able to see the fourth dimension. So, yeah, that's my theory on that. Actually, I just answered question three on accident. All right, this is my fourth question, and I feel like our viewers might be realizing how absolutely sleep deprived I was when I was writing these. But is time relative to the observer or the object getting affected by it? And I feel like I need an example for this. So, like, for example, if I sent a friend into a black hole, and if I sent Rayo into a black hole, and I stood outside the gravitational field of the black hole, how would each of us like perceive or affect time? Because we would technically be affecting time since we both like have some mass. And my question is like, how exactly would that work? So
well, I know that like at least like on Earth, this is according to like physics stack exchange.
I mean,
but,
it's
like,
a level source.
It's also just like pertaining to like Einstein's theory of relativity, that like essentially wait, I need to think about this a little more. May I'll keep on yapping.
Yeah, okay, well, Einstein's theory of relativity. The laws of physics are the same for all observers in any inertial frame or frame of reference relative to one another.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know how to explain that.
He also, the theory of relativity, it comes in like two sectors. It's like special relativity and then like general relativity. So special relativity is like how like speed pertains to like space, time, and mass, and then general relativity is just like the interactions of all of them. But I would say that, I'm sorry, what was the question?
Okay, is time relative to the observer or the object getting affected by it? So if I sent you into a black hole and I was outside of the gravitational field, like how would each of us see time?
Then I would say, according to like the theory of general relativity, it is according to the observer. But I feel like this is once again like one of those things with like any question about black holes. It's extremely nuanced and it depends on like the context of the question.
Yeah, I feel like we might have to get like an astrophysicist on next time. Next time we talk about something like this.
Next time, let's do like a biotechnology sort of thing.
Yeah. All right. Essentially, like, I will say that like everything in our universe moves in the speed of light through the fourth dimension. So that actually like makes like zero sense to me, because this is a I forgot how to say the channel name, Kurzgesagt video, by the way. And they're like known for talking about some really strange things.
Oh,
but yeah. But according to them, everything in our universe moves at the speed of light through the fourth dimension, and our speed through space-time is the sum of our speeds through time and space. So essentially, if we're moving through space, then we move slower through time, and if like, so it's like, I'm thinking of a comparison. It's almost like sine and cosine, but
bro,
yeah, it's like the best thing I could think of. But essentially, like, I think moving back to the relativity thing, like when a bus, for example, when a bus drives past you, it is moving faster through space than you. So it is moving slower through time than you. So when you move faster through space, you go slower in time. And you move slower through space, you go faster in time.
Okay.
And that like brings us to the thing of like time dilation. Mm-hmm. There's like a well-known example called the twin paradox. And one is sent on a high-speed rocket journey. I'll let that sink in. While the other stays on Earth. And because of their different speeds through space, they age at different rates. And I believe this is also an interstellar?
Yes, it is. Yeah. I forgot the planet name. But essentially when, you know, like, this team of, like, astronauts, they're going to different galaxies, they come to... What's the name? It's like Euler's planet or Adam's planet. I don't know. Something of that sort. But essentially, for each hour they would spend on that planet, it would be 7 years on Earth. So it does sort of connect to like the paradox theory, where like time is sort of dependent on like your place in space.
Yeah, and because of like going back to the twin paradox. Because of each twin's different speeds through space, they age at different rates. And so the twin that was sent in a high-speed rocket returns younger. And hopefully, like, as Kurzgesagt said, ready for therapy, at seeing their other twin at this point basically a grandpa. But that is a really good example of time dilation, which is like the subjective nature of time. And that's why I had that question. Where was it, bro? Is time relative to the observer, or is the object getting affected by it because of the twin paradox? Mm-hmm. And I feel like because of like this example and the subjective nature of time, it's like unique to each person's frame of reference, and that's like just adding another layer of complexity, to be honest. Mm-hmm. It's unneeded. But yeah, any thoughts on this?
I mean, I would like to talk more about it, but I think that we're gonna have to start wrapping up to our closing remarks soon. I don't know how many people would actually like give us feedback on like what specific episodes we should do, and you know, like how to what like level of complexity we should like get to this, because obviously, you know, like this is very, you know, like high level stuff. It's very theoretical. But you know, even Mayhall, who's like a black hole connoisseur, like she started to
That's
like,
not true.
But she was, you know, like she's very adept with, you know, black holes, and she was tripping herself up like a little bit, not as much as me, but
it's mainly because like, yeah, it's a very theoretical topic that I don't have the math or physics skills for.
It's a very nuanced topic, but I've actually learned a lot more. I didn't know what a tachyon was before this. So yeah. And next week, do we have a distinct plan for the specific episode we're doing next week? I would personally love to do something that, you know, like I'm a bit more experienced in. So something more like, you know, like neuroscience or like biology related.
I think we're going to talk about sleep.
Oh, perfect. Yeah.
Which would be great for us, for us students.
At Phillips Exeter Academy, yeah.
Yeah,
but interesting stuff like that. Is that with our good friend from the school?
Yes, it is.
Yay.
Another student guest.
Another exciting student guest. We're going to also start to create a transition from student guests more so to, you know, like professor guests and, you know, other teachers who teach here, because we know that they're also extremely passionate for these topics and they often teach them. So, yeah, that's the future plan for next week. I don't know, DM us on Instagram if you guys have any other, you know, like suggestions for specific episode topics.
Yeah, we love hyperfixations around here, so we'll go as deep as you want to.
Yeah. And essentially, yeah, that's the gist of it. We hoped you guys enjoyed this episode specifically on black holes. We hope that we weren't, you know, boring you guys, and you guys, you know, learned a thing or two. You know, like from like learning the misconceptions of black holes, now you guys know the real stuff, and you also know a lot more like advanced topics too. And it's all these questions that Mayhall was offering. Like, this is stuff you guys can think about on your own too. So yeah, you're listening to WPEA 90.5 FM Exeter.
We'll see you next time.